Well, good morning again. We're going to be looking this morning at a scripture that's going to take us back to the Old Testament. And before we read that scripture, I want to give you just a little bit of background. Our scripture takes us back to the Old Testament, to Israel's dark period of the Judges. So chronologically, for those of you who like timelines, I want you to know that the stories in 1 and 2 Samuel cluster right around the year 1000 BC. So it happens about 1,000 years after God calls Abraham, who is the patriarch, the father of the nation of Israel, and about 1,000 years after Abraham and 1,000 years before the birth of Christ. So this is the time when God's people are repeatedly unfaithful to him. We read again and again in the book of Judges that it says every man did what was right in his own eyes. Now, our story's setting is Shiloh, and that's where the Ark of the Covenant happens to be located at this point in time, and where the Israelites come to worship God. The chief priest is an elderly man named Eli. And Eli's sons are also priests at Shiloh. But see, they have no regard for God or for the duties of the priesthood. And they sleep with the women who serve at the temple. They desecrate holy offerings so that they can fill their bellies with, you know, the choicest meat from animals that are brought as sacrifices for God. So they've essentially made the elements of worship into all about pleasing themselves and their desires rather than about pleasing God. And now you need to know that while Eli has rebuked them for this, he hasn't done what needs to be done, which is to remove his sons from the priesthood. And as he has not done that, God rebukes Eli. He sends a prophet to tell Eli himself that God will remove Eli's sons from the priesthood. And oh, by the way, none of Eli's descendants are going to live to see old age. Okay? That's where we start. Now, into this setting walks Hannah. Now, Hannah is a godly woman who also happens to be barren. And one day, while she's at Shiloh to worship God, Hannah desperately pleads with God to give her a son, vowing that she will give him back to serve God at the temple. Now, God answers this prayer. Hannah gives birth to Samuel, and when Samuel is 3 years old, Hannah fulfills her vow by bringing him to Shiloh to serve God at the temple under Eli's direction. And so that's what is happening as our story begins. So let's take a minute and turn now to this morning's text, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 to 21. So I will be reading the entire chapter. I think I will read it from up here. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. And at that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his words. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for it. So, for a lot of people, this text raises a big question. Does God still speak to his people in today's world? What do you think? Yes! Good, good, yay, this is a great start. Yeah, the good news is yes, from all counsel of Scripture, we know that God still speaks to his people. He may not speak to you audibly, like he did to Samuel. He may not call you to be a prophet like he did Samuel. But like Samuel, we have a chance to hear God's voice. The God who speaks his word to Samuel in this dark time in Israel's history continues to speak his word to us in our time. Not through the prophets, but rather directly to us through the Holy Spirit sent by God at Pentecost. That's what we remember as we celebrate today, Pentecost Sunday, when God sent his Holy Spirit to indwell the church, and that would be us. Next question then is, well, how can we hear God speaking in our own lives? There's no magic formula, and we know God doesn't usually send emails. I sometimes wish that he would. It would just make things so much easier. But the example of God's call to Samuel does give us some really excellent guidelines. And if you look closely at this chapter, you'll see that Samuel's actual words are few, but they're really important. So I'd like to take some time and look at them together. Let's start with the very first thing Samuel says. When he hears this voice, he says, "Here I am." When God speaks, Samuel immediately jumps up and says, "Here I am." In fact, he says this 5 times throughout the chapter. It tells us a lot about Samuel's self-discipline and respect for authority that he actually gets up 3 times to respond to what he thinks is Eli's call. And we know that this happens in the wee hours of the morning because the text tells us that the lamp in the temple had not yet gone out. The lamp which is to be kept burning from evening to morning hadn't gone out yet. So even at that hour, without hesitation, Samuel runs to his master and declares both his presence and his eagerness to serve. "Here I am, for you called me." So Samuel doesn't hear from God just because Samuel happens to be sleeping there in God's house or tending God's lamp. Samuel hears from God because he's developed habits of the heart that make him available to God. He has no doubt learned from his mother, Hannah, about God's reality and authority and lavish love. And Eli has been his guide in how to serve God at the temple. So Samuel is consistently present, obedient in all the day-to-day stuff. He's there even before he learns to distinguish God's voice from other voices. So that's the first thing we learn. Be available, consistent in your day-to-day faithfulness, even in things as seemingly small as filling the temple lamp with oil, just so that God knows that when he does speak, you will respond. You will be available to hear his words. So that's the first point. Here I am. Here I am. Be available. The next thing Samuel says is equally important. God calls to Samuel four times, right? Eli, as the one who has received God's word in the past, knows how a revelation from the Lord is supposed to be received. So after the third call, Eli realizes what's happening, and he instructs Samuel to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And then next comes that beautiful verse, verse 10, where it says, "The Lord came and stood there." The summons is direct and it's personal. God calls Samuel by name. And Samuel answers just as he's been told. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And then Samuel listens. He listens. See, once we're available to receive God's word, we have to actually be still and listen. Not such an easy thing to do in our noisy world with our crowded schedules. They say silence is golden. Well, it certainly is scarce, isn't it? So you have to intentionally look for it, and sometimes you just have to intentionally make it in your life. 3 centuries ago, the philosopher Soren Kierkegaard said that if he were a doctor and were allowed to prescribe just one remedy for all the ills of the, quote, modern world, then, he would prescribe silence. Kierkegaard said, "For even if the word of the Lord were proclaimed, it would not be heard or heeded, for there is too much noise and busyness in our world." And that was written 300 years ago. 300 years ago. How much more noisy is today's world, where our iPhones go with us everywhere, and the internet is constantly tempting us to, you know, catch up-to-date information on what's going on around the globe, maybe look at some Hollywood gossip, maybe just check our Facebook pages to see how many likes we've gotten. It's a noisy world. It's so full of distraction and so full of noises that we have to be intentional about saying, "I'm going to find a quiet place. I'm going to schedule some time when I'm going to shut my laptop. I'm going to turn off the phone, and I'm going to sit expectantly with God. In his word, listening, expecting that he will speak, because he does still speak." And then, after Samuel listens to God's word, what he does next is crucial. He responds. He speaks God's word just as he's been told to do. And it happens to be a word of judgment against Eli's house. And imagine how difficult it must have been for Samuel the apprentice to speak God's judgment to Eli, who has been his mentor, his teacher, his father figure, his boss. Verse 15 tells us that Samuel is afraid, but still, Samuel speaks God's word. And I love the fact that God uses Eli to confirm that it was God speaking to Samuel, and to affirm that God's word is sovereign, even if that word is hard to hear or speak. Eli says, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." And already Samuel is learning that God's word will not always be easy to speak, but he will continue to deliver God's messages, and so God will use him to reestablish God's rule in Israel. Now, that third point in our little outline, respond, it may seem really like an obvious one. You know, hello, duh, of course, now that we finally know what to do, we finally got an email from God, we have to do it, right? But think about it. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's easy to actually do something, even when we know in our minds that it's what we're supposed to do. For example, I may know that it's really important for me to take care of my body so that I'll have a long and healthy life. And I may know from Scripture that my body is the temple of God's Holy Spirit, and so I need to keep it healthy and ready for service to God. I may know in my head all the right foods to eat and how I'm supposed to get exercise and how much sleep and relaxation I'm supposed to get. I may know all those things. You can know them in your head, but to do them, there's the rub, huh? It can be hard to do them. But Samuel does. He delivers his message to Eli. And he doesn't know yet what God intends to speak and do through him in the future. He doesn't see the big picture that God already sees. He sees the front of that tapestry. God does. We don't. And Samuel didn't. But Samuel faithfully does what he knows he's supposed to do in the present moment. He fetches oil for the lamp. He trims wicks. He takes meals with Eli, probably sweeps up around the temple. He makes himself available to Eli and to God, listening and following through on what he's told to do and say. So God knows that he can speak to and through Samuel precisely because he knows Samuel is, again, available and listening and responsive to God's call. So Samuel proceeds to grow in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. And if that phrase sounds familiar, you've heard it said of Jesus in the New Testament when Jesus is a boy. And all Israel, we're told, from Dan, the northernmost part, to Beersheba, the southernmost part, recognizes that Samuel validated it as a prophet of God. Because in other words, what Samuel prophesies does actually happen. That's how you know a prophet is a true prophet. So into this time of spiritual darkness, when the word of God has been scarce, God begins to speak again. And at this point in time, you need to know Israel hasn't had a king yet, remember? But all that's about to change. See, God is about to do something brand new in Israel. And it's an exciting time, but nobody really knows it yet. God does. Samuel trusts that God sees what he can't see. God's going to use him to anoint first Saul, king over Israel, then David. And we know, of course, that it's going to be from David's line that Christ the Messiah will come. Samuel has no idea what God's going to do, how God's going to use him to establish a monarchy through which the Messiah, the promised one, will come. He doesn't know any of that yet. But he knows the one who does. And he trusts and he does what he knows to do. And so God speaks to him. And the neat thing is that every act of listening, response, will bring Samuel to a greater knowledge of God and into a deeper love and trust relationship with God as they walk together through this. So, as a practical matter, what does that look like for us today at Wyndham Presbyterian Church in Wyndham, New Hampshire on June 4th, 2017? Well, it means first, of course, that we need to be intentional about making ourselves available to God and listen for him to speak to us and then respond. Like Samuel, we worship God. We serve God in the small things he's given us to do. We do our jobs from day to day. We trim the wicks here at church, polish the wood, mulch the flower beds, change the light bulbs. Those faithful acts of worship and service put us in a posture to be in God's presence and ready to hear from him when he takes the initiative to speak to us. And now, you can't help but notice that this text also addresses some really important issues of parenting, and I wanted to point those out because we have this wonderful example of Hannah. Samuel spent 3 years learning at Hannah's feet before he was then taken to serve at the temple. Hannah, we know, is a woman who loved God and who knew how to worship. And if you haven't done so yet, please take a minute to read Hannah's song, her prayer in chapter 1. If I had all the time in the world, I would have someone do a dramatic reading of it because it's powerful and it's beautiful. Read her prayer. This woman knew God and loved God. And there's no question that Samuel would have seen her praying and talking to God and worshiping. And that shows. We don't know what, you know, daily life looked like around her household, but what we do know, we can imagine that she lived out her love for God in the presence of the toddler Samuel. So parents, I just want to say really briefly that when your children see you in prayer or in worship, they learn that your relationship with God is genuine and loving and really important to you. And they watch you when you sit quietly in front of your Bible with your morning coffee, reading and listening and fully expecting to hear from God. They learn that God has something to say to you, and so probably to them too. And the way in which Samuel was so quick to respond when he thought Eli was calling him indicates that Samuel had learned obedience and self-discipline from his parents. We can be certain that he did not learn it from Eli, right? Because Eli failed to discipline his own sons, those sons continued in a path that led them to become slaves to their own desires, their own most basic desires, and they missed God's voice altogether. You know, food and sex are good gifts of God, but they're not meant to be worshipped like those young men did. And because they were not disciplined, they missed God altogether. And they brought blasphemy to the house of God. And now this text also contains a word for young people. I know there are some of you here, maybe middle schoolers, high schoolers, I don't know if there's anybody younger, but did you notice that when God called Samuel to be a prophet, Samuel, 12 years old. Anybody here 12 years old or younger? Yeah? A few? Okay, good. Know that God's call is not just limited to adults. Samuel could not simply ride the coattails of his parents' faith, even if you have a mother with a faith like Hannah's. He had to choose for himself to practice being available to hear God. He had to choose to practice listening to God in the midst of his world's noise. He had to choose to practice responding in obedience, even when God called him to do something really hard. You know, it's possible to grow up in the church without ever learning to recognize God's voice. Eli's sons did. And they probably went on to youth group every week and on retreats and mission trips. And hear me, those are really great things. Aaron, are we good? Aaron, where's Aaron over here? Yes. Those are really great things. They teach us about God. And that's important. But the thing is, young people, you will still have to go beyond that and get to know God personally yourself. You'll have to choose, just like Samuel did, to make that time to hear God's voice, to let God know that you're ready and receptive. So if he asks you to do something, even something hard, you're going to be ready. And you're going to find out, even as you do that, that you are loved more than you can possibly imagine. Are you paying attention to God? God is, listen, young people, God is real and personal, and he's reaching out to you in love every single day, just as he did with Samuel. So please pay attention, and you're going to find yourself loving and being loved beyond what you can even imagine. And definitely keep going to youth group. That's a great place to start. But you can't stop there. You can't ride the coattails of your parents' faith. You need to learn to hear and recognize God's voice for yourself. Just can't imagine the amazing things that he can do through you then. And so, bottom line, the takeaway for all of us here is that God does speak to his people now as well as then. But Hebrews, in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it tells us, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. In Jesus Christ, God's word became flesh, made its dwelling among us. And when Jesus returned to the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit to take up residence in the life of every believer. We're celebrating. That's the red color that you see here, the paraments. We're celebrating God's gift of the Holy Spirit. And because the Holy Spirit is always present in a believer, he can speak to us clearly and personally at any time, and advocate for us before God, and speak for us when we just don't even have words to speak. God still speaks to us through his Holy Spirit. And one last thing I just have to mention. Did you notice that the calling is actually initiated by God, not by Samuel, not by us? God's revelation of his activity is an invitation for us to then join in his work. See, God's already at work in the world, and our job is to find out where so we can join him. It's not, you know, about us dreaming up great programs and plans and saying, Lord, bless them. It's about seeing with God's eyes, because God sees the big picture. He knows precisely where human history is right now, where we're headed. He's at work speaking to his people and engineering circumstances because he knows what's coming down the road, even when we don't. And if we want to walk in sync with God and participate in his plan, it means that we won't necessarily know at a given time why God's doing and speaking in the way that he is. And let's face it, not being able to see the big picture, but stepping out in faith anyway into God's activity can be a little bit scary. Samuel was afraid, wasn't he? We want to know the big picture, don't we? We want to be comfortable and confident and know what's coming next. But sometimes we need to trust the God who knows and walk out in faith in response to him, even when we don't know. That takes courage. That's where the rubber meets the road, as they say, when it comes to faith. You have a call. I have a call. Wyndham Presbyterian Church has a call. And someday, as believers, we're going to get to stand face to face with God and see him roll out the tapestry of history and maybe see that tiny little place where we got to be used by God to live and serve in that way, in that moment in history. God's at work right now in this community, and we have a call to be part of it. God's speaking to us by his Holy Spirit, through the Bible and prayer and circumstances, to reveal himself and his purposes, and then our role as a congregation in that work. I don't know the big picture, but I know the one who does. So let's choose to be available to God. Let's listen for his word, and then let's have courage to respond, to speak that word of God into a broken and hurting world, even and especially when that word is really hard to speak. Because if we do, God can and will work through us to accomplish God-sized tasks that we could never do ourselves, programs, plans, who knows, adventures that we could never imagine or plan. But we can walk alongside God and participate with him in that kind of activity. God spoke to Samuel, and God wants to speak to you. You have a call. You have a call. Let's pray together. Lord God, we sometimes live our lives as though you no longer speak to your people. Please forgive us. Thank you for your loving reminder through Samuel and all of Scripture that you constantly pursue a love relationship with us, speaking to your people, calling us to be involved in what you're doing in the world. Lord, here we are. Here we are. Please give us patience to listen and courage to respond to your call. We humbly ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.